Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future Old Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
On today's episode, we're going to be talking about that 13 Florida State team versus this 19 LSU's team. Who's the best? Aaron Hernandez in the documentary came out. We want to talk about the pressure that some of these student athletes go through as being superstars in small towns. And then finally, we're going to get to some of your fan questions and some of the listener questions. Sam, you ready?
Let's get it.
Let's get it. All right, so Sam, LSU just completed what most people are considering to be the greatest season ever. You know, six wins over top 10 opponents. Joe Burrow, 60 touchdowns to five interceptions. A lot of people are saying this 19 LSU team is by far and away maybe the greatest team ever. When we look at a lot of the list as well of some of the greatest teams, I feel like that Florida State team never really gets put on that list. But as Florida State fans, we already know Florida State, you know, that 13 team was probably one of the greatest ever as well. So if we comparing the two teams, who would you pick in that game?
Well, I think the thing is people like to look player for player, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing people go to. But what I go to is the coaching staffs, right? Mm-hmm. If you take Jeremy Pruitt, who I think, other than Brent Venables, is probably the best defensive mind in football, especially at that time. Jeremy Pruitt, man, has so many exotic blitzes. And so, like, it felt like his defense was always playing offense to me. You know what I'm saying? The way they just attacked you.
Yep.
I mean, he even packed that same defense up and took it to Georgia. And it was the same exact way. And then took it to Bama, which they haven't been good on defense since he left, to be honest with you. I think that's a complete mismatch because LSU could feast on a lot of teams because their third corner isn't that good mm-hmm. as their first two corners. But you look at Florida State, your third guy in the slot was
Ramsey.
LaMarcus Joyner.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So LaMarcus Joyner's in the slot. And then you got Ramsey who can basically cover the tight end if he come out the back, right? So if you try to go four wide, mm-hmm. you don't have to switch out personnel with Terrence Brooks being the guy that's going to put everybody in their spots, right?
Right.
With P.J. Williams and Darby on the side, you know. So that defense would not have had to sub, right? So they could have got into any personnel matchup as far as whatever you want to do. You want to put the tight end in line. You want to make it like a 21 personnel, 22 personnel. They could do whatever. It didn't matter.
Yep.
And then when you flip that script, you go to Jimbo versus Dave Aranda. At that time, with Jameis, which Jameis was the cheat code because now – all my offensive players are, you know, they're on fire, right? Like, they're hot. All of them are hot because in Jimbo's offense, you can throw to anybody.
Yep.
Or you can run the ball or you can run a speed option. You know, it's totally up to the quarterback. So that makes it basically unguardable. So, and then you take a look at the linebacker situation with Florida State at that time. Telvin Smith.
Yep.
So they can cover your backs out the backfield and can run with your tight end if need be. So I think people get into the offensive side of it, but Florida State defense is what would have, which is probably what would have won that game, in my opinion.
So
would win that game.
I 100% agree with you, right? So when I look at it, I also went back to the defense. When you talk about Jeremy Pruitt, you already know I'm a huge fan of Jeremy Pruitt. I talked about it, how Florida State this past year had the same blitz packages, but it just didn't feel the same. I talked about that as it relates to, you know, producers. Like in the music world, you can go out there and purchase a Timbaland beat package. And so it gives you a lot of the same sounds and same, you know, melodies that Timbaland uses in most of his beats or the Neptunes uses in most of their beats. But just because you buy the package don't make you Neptunes and don't make you Timbaland. And that's what we saw a lot of is a lot of people tried to replicate what Jeremy Pruitt had. as far as the package of plays and as far as the blitzes, but it never looked like how it looked when Jeremy Pruitt was here. We've seen it from Bama, we've seen it from Georgia, and we've seen it from Florida State. Those pack, like, you never knew what was coming on defense. You never knew where the blitz was coming from. You never knew who was blitzing. You never knew if they were blitzing. Because the time it looked like they was going to come all out blitz, everybody dropping zone. The time it looked everybody was in zone, somebody's dropping in, somebody's blitzing. Like, it was.
Well, you know, Pruitt put a lot of checks in his defense. Because somebody was telling me this. So, if you do a certain thing, like he would coach the DBs and the linebackers, like, okay, if they do a certain thing, you're going to automatically go.
Yep.
So he had like a lot of checks within his defense. So the players had a lot of confidence because they was making the calls.
Right. They were great at disguising the coverage. As an offensive coordinator, I don't care, Joe Brady or whoever it is, all right, we're running whatever play we're running. If the defense is already two steps ahead of you because they've seen this formation, they know there's only about three possibilities of what you're going to run out of here, and they've already decided, okay, like the players, forget the coaches. The players are smart enough to realize, okay, this is what's coming up. And now they've checked themselves into the two likelihood to stop the play. I mean, you got a huge advantage. I think that's where the defense, that's where the game is, in my opinion, is LSU's offense versus Florida State's defense. Florida State, in 2013, was going to score on everybody. We saw it. I mean, the games would be over in the first quarter during the 2013 season. Like, the closest game outside of the championship ended up being Boston College. And that was like, what, second, third game of the season. And that still ended up being like a 20-something point win. And all I'm saying is, so when we, you know, they didn't have a Florida game where they went back and forth with anybody. You know what I mean? They didn't have that game where it looked like, oh, man, who knows what's going to happen. Oh, they score, we score, we score, they score. I remember when, what was it, Maryland. Maryland came into town super hot. They got a quarterback who's dope. It's funny because I was doing a podcast at that time before the 13 season. And when I did my predictions for the season, and this is – matter of fact, I don't want y'all to lose faith in your boy, but I'm gonna give you what I said at that time. In 2013, I was like, yo, man, I think Florida State gonna, you know, probably lose like three games, and Jimbo Fisher gonna end up being fired at the end of the season. That was coming off of what I had seen going forward. I mean, in the past or whatever, there was always that inexplicable loss to a North Carolina State or somebody who you couldn't really figure out, and it was always, you know what I mean, it was just a bunch of little stuff. And so I had lost all faith in Jimbo. I mean, all faith. Actually, I never really liked him to begin with, but at that point, I lost all faith in him. So I'm looking at the season coming up, and I'm like, that Maryland loss gonna be the loss. So as I'm looking at the season, I'm like, dang, boy, Jameis nice. This, that, and third. I'm looking at this Boston College. Okay, all right, these boys might be something. But then I saw Maryland coming in. I think they may have been ranked, you know, top. I know they were top 25, but they may have even been like top 10. You know what I mean? Top 10, top 15. And what was that, 60-6 or some crazy number like that? At that point, I was like, oh, no, these boys different. You know what I'm saying? So LSU, there was never a game where it'd be like, man, I don't know what's going to happen here. Florida State may struggle in this one. No, every game was an absolute blowout. Every game was a dog, you were getting the dog walked on you, and these dudes were playing hangman on the sideline.
Yeah, Maryland had Stephon Diggs that year too.
Yeah.
But, I think another thing that really changes everything is – you had Tim Jernigan, Eddie Goldman, and Mario Edwards.
Yeah.
So between those three guys, I mean, you had to kind of double Timmy. You had to double Timmy at that time.
Man, Timmy Dope got doubled every game, every week, and still
had to double Timmy. And once Tevin Smith light a fire under Mario Edwards' ass, he would play hard. So, I mean, it was like, I mean, that was a defense that they took away you couldn't create a numbers advantage with that defense because of how versatile they was. You know what I'm saying? And then their safety was interchangeable, right? So Ramsey could play the one high single high safety, or Brooks could play the single high safety. And you never know which one was gonna do it, you know, from play to play. Ramsey could come in the box or Brooks could come in. They both was good at blitzing. Like, it, I mean, that defense, to me, that's one of the And that's the thing that goes unlooked about that 2013 team is like how that defense was built to stop RPO, spread, everything. Like that defense was built, it had an answer for everything.
Okay. Matter of, here's how I'm gonna further the argument, right? Florida State, all 22 players ended up in the NFL on somebody's team at some point. All 22 of the starters. And every single player on defense got drafted.
Right.
That like you we can say what we want to say about this LSU team. That's not happening. Joe Burrow gonna get some look. Some of your wide receivers gonna get some shine. Maybe a cornerback or two.
Well, the cornerbacks get drafted, tight ends get drafted. The line,
your tight end definitely. Moss gonna get drafted. Yeah. Your receivers, I think, are good.
Right, but I don't know. Do they got a Hall of Famer in there? Because we know Rams are gonna be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
So, do they have
Timmy Jernigan? Also, is not you know is still doing his thing in the league right now.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I mean. I don't know how many of those we. I guess it remains to be seen about you know what Joe Burrow is gonna be in the NFL. I don't necessarily think his game you know translates, but. Who knows? You know what I mean? It's like I've been wrong before. I feel like I was right about Baker Mayfield when I said his, you know, his game wasn't gonna translate. Matter of fact, that was a conversation me and you had on Twitter. Before this season, you was like, I think he's gonna be good. And I was like,
man. I said that.
That's what started me and you to start talking. Like just on some regular stuff.
I wasn't a big Baker fan, so
Look at these. Listen, I don't know how to check people's tweets from in the past. Man, look at them tweets between me and Sam. I was arguing about Baker Mayfield. You didn't think he was great, but I remember you thought he'd be all right. You thought he'd be all right, and I was like, man, I think he cheats. And that was kind of the thing about it. But anyway, I mean, I don't think they have, like you said, they don't have a Ramsey on that team. You know what I mean? And it's those are different. There's just levels to it. You know what I mean? Like, listen, 19 LSU was great for the season that they had. They're great. They are one of the greatest teams of all time. But if you comparing this 2013 Florida State team, there's only a couple teams I think could even like compete with these guys just because of how special that defense was, how special Jameis was, and just this whole team was some dogs. That's the other thing about that 13 team that people don't realize. This whole team was dogs.
Right. I mean, LSU got some dogs on that team too, but I just think it's a different
whole team.
Matchup is matchup. So, I mean, player for player, I don't know. And then another thing that really kills you, because you got to understand, man, Jimbo was in his bag that year for his calling plays. I mean,
yeah.
Because he had a quarterback that understood it all.
That's what I was just going to say. Yep.
So, okay, you got Benjamin,
mm-hmm.
Rashad,
yep.
Kenny in the slot.
Yep.
And I thought that's what killed Clemson. They didn't have a slot guy. Like, I don't think Rodgers was good enough to do what they wanted to do in the slot. So you'd have Kenny Shaw, Benjamin, Green, Nick O'Leary, and then you'd have Freeman, you know, they were running a pony package every now and then. So with Freeman or Williams or Freeman or Wilder, I mean, so they basically make you put an extra linebacker on the field. And if you don't put an extra linebacker on the field, they run the football.
Right.
And you had Stork in the middle. I mean, that 2013 team is pretty tough. I could basically put that team against probably anybody.
Yep.
And I'm fairly, I mean, because like coach for coach, and you had really good coaches on that defensive staff because you had Pruitt, Charles Kelly, linebacker, and Sal Cesari controlling the D line. All those guys had called defenses and understood the scheme. So then you take that, flip that with Jimbo and Randy Sanders at the time when they liked each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they was in their bag that year.
I think only one of like the 0-1 Miami team is the teams that really can't compare. Them old Miami teams are the teams that.
But you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? Because somebody asked me about that, about the Miami 2001 team, mm-hmm. right? And I told them, I said, you know, if you really think about it, right, Miami had a lot of great players on that team, but if you put them against like this LSU team, right? I don't know if Miami offense at that time with Ken Dorsey is some of that offensive lineman on that team would have been good enough.
I agree right? with you.
But the problem is
that team has so much heart.
You turn around with Ed Reed, yeah. Vince Wilfork. You know what I'm saying? So
them was dogs. I mean, see, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. See, that's what I mean. And when I talk about them dudes refused to lose, man. Like that whole Joaquin said.
But that Miami team was bored though.
Huh? Yeah, it was.
That Miami team didn't play good every game. They just, you know, right. they'll beat you down, but I mean, when they felt challenged, they would beat you down.
That's exactly what I mean, right? Yeah. They knew that they had a different level. They had a different gear that they could get to at any point in time, at any moment in time. And so that's why I say the Miami team, plus that Miami team.
That's like probably that Miami team was probably the deepest national championship.
Especially
team.
When, man, they had, like, wait, what was their running back group? It was,
They had like four running
backs. That's what I mean. That all of them end up in the NFL and like two of them.
Willis McGahee, Frank McGore, Clinton Portis.
That's what I mean. Yeah, them dudes was three deep on that one. And like, that's your running back room. So
I honestly think the better question is Florida State 2013 versus Clemson 2018.
I agree with you. I agree. Because see, here's the funny thing. That Clemson 18 team is very similar when we talk about how many players getting drafted off that team. When we talk about the quarterback being, we talk about offensive line play, like no weaknesses. You know what I mean? No weaknesses, and they ran through everybody the same way Florida State did. That 18 Clemson team, I think, is probably another one of the closer ones that I think would be a very, very good matchup.
See, I'd take that 18 team, the Clemson team last year, to actually have beat this LSU team.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! 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 See, they lost a lot. Yeah, they lost a ton on
because Brennables went ahead to do all that exotic stuff with the D line. He could have literally just put four D linemen up there and just called it a wrap.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. You know what I mean? So I actually got a question though as it relates to this. Why don't you think this 13 team gets more credit? Like I talked about it earlier. We have every time they do a list. All decade teams, all century teams, all whatever. I feel like Florida State, that 2013 Florida State team, don't never make a list.
That's because Florida State is bad at PR. Like we blame ESPN and we blame like it's some type of conspiracy. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, Florida State is terrible at marketing itself. Mm. That's my opinion.
Okay.
That's always been my opinion.
Okay.
Like, they don't do a good job of marketing. Like, they don't do a good job of making Florida State seem bigger and grandiose as it should be. Like, you look at, like, those promos for, like, the Big Ten, like, for Michigan and Ohio State. Dude, you would think Michigan is, like, won, like, a ton of national championships. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at those promos for, like, Bama and the way they gather the press for Bama and the way things go at Bama. Like for instance, when Jane Winston went pro, did they do a big news conference, press conference about that?
No. Nope.
He just kind of went in the middle of the night, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. I mean, I look at the –
don't do a good job with that.
Not even just that. I mean, look at the hype videos for LSU, man, leading up to the championship game and leading up to it. And it's just like – I look at the – like, man, them videos, I'd be like, bro, are they using the same cameras the rest of the world is using? Because they sure ain't using the same ones Florida State using. Like, the colors pop different. The songs pop different. Yeah. Right? Everything about it pop different. You know what I mean? And so I look at
it. It just feels big time, right? It feels big time. Right. It makes LSU seem like an establishment when they're really not.
Exactly. It makes them seem like they are a whole lot bigger than what they are, which is why when they're naming the top programs in football, even when they down, LSU always get mentioned. Ohio State always get mentioned. Bama always get mentioned. Right. And it's like, wait a minute. These dudes ain't did nothing. Wait a minute, when was the last time when the last time they won? When was the last time this? And I think, I do agree with you. I believe the PR aspect of it is really big. But not only that, I think Jameis got a lot to do with that, man. Like, people don't want to acknowledge the 13 team because then you got to bring up the fact, you got to bring up Jameis Winston. Winston, for all he is and all we know him to be, people still see him as a bad dude. They see him as a cancer to you know what I mean? Like, he don't get the he gets a whole lot more blame nationally with more than the love he gets from, you know, his fan base.
But once again, though, that's PR, though, right? True. They didn't shape his image.
Nope.
After
no, they kind of disassociated himself from him. Yeah.
But they didn't, like, Florida State should have been trying to reshape his image as that was going on. They should have been trying to change the narrative, but instead they tried to pretend like it wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, these narratives wasn't out there. Like,
you're right.
You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just think about that. Like, the way all that stuff kind of went on was, it was a rapist, this guy.
Yeah.
Did this rape thing, trying to get this rape thing, this and that. But it was like, they should have been doing stuff to reshape Jameis' image as that season was right. going on.
Make him like, do all sorts of community service. We filming it
well,
all.
Well, not even a community not even service. Community service. I'm talking about just they should have shown him, you know, actually engaging with women, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, engaging with his mom, engaging with his grandma, you know, like, it just, they should have been doing things to make him look like they didn't do anything for him. And that was like a frustration with Jimbo too.
Oh no, that Remember? Was my frustration with him. Like, when he suspended him for the Clemson game, I was like,
but Jimbo didn't do that though.
I know
Jimbo
no,
didn't
I know.
Suspend him for that.
But as the head coach, as the leader of a, he's the CEO, regardless of whatever it is, he's still the CEO of the team. And if he had stood up and said, man, y'all can get out of here with this. Like, we playing Clemson. This is something, this is social media meme or whatever. Yeah, it was immature. Yeah, it was dumb. But this ain't nothing to suspend a play over. That's silly. You know what I mean? Like, what
right,
are
but I'm
about?
Saying like that, but that wasn't his call. They took it out of his hands.
No, you can't take it out of my hands because I'm the head.
I know what you said, but I'm telling you what happened. They took it out of his hands.
And again, you can't take anything out of my hands because it's my football team. It's my program. What you going to do, fire me? Man, I just won the national championship last year. Forget y'all.
Wow. That, I mean,
again, if I'm the CEO, if I'm the CEO of this here ship, which I am as the head coach of Florida State University, the head coach of Florida State University football is the biggest person on the campus, period. He's bigger than your president. He's bigger than than everybody else. He's bigger than your athletic director. So at this present moment, if you pull me in a meeting and tell me, man, we got to suspend Jameis because this, no, we ain't got to do nothing. Nah, I ain't got to do nothing. I get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, I'm telling you what you're going to do. Fire me.
I mean, you could basically be in, you could hit some type of clause in your contract where, yeah, you probably could be dismissed, bro.
They go, okay, so hold on. All right. So now we on.
I'm just, saying,
I'm with you. But
no,
now we
I'm
on.
Just saying.
So 2013 happens. Florida State wins a national championship. Florida State is undefeated, ranked top 2-3 in the nation at this present moment and trying to repeat. The AD calls you in the office and says, you got to suspend Jameis because this is a terrible look for our school and university and blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not going to do that. And then they're going to look at it and say, you're violating a ethics clause in your thing or you're being insubordinate and therefore we're going to let you go. Do you understand what would have happened? Like they would have physically gotten in their cars, drove to the stadium, went to the AD's and president's office, picked them up out of their seats, and threw them out of the stadium. At that present moment, think about it at that moment. Not right now. Think about it at that moment, how hype and how big Florida State football was at that time. They were not firing.
Jim Tressel got fired for a couple of tattoos, bro. Like,
did they win the national championship?
They was knocking on the door.
They was a couple years removed and they still had a good team.
Yeah, but they was still putting in elite players. They was knocking on the door to win one.
It's different. Matter of fact, and those are NCAA violations. They had NCAA violations. See, that's different because that affects your program. Nothing Jameis did was getting any NCAA attention. It wasn't causing any problems with nobody. It was immaturity. And most people who were smart enough were realizing, man, it's immaturity. For you, you shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. So therefore, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to probably assign you a buddy. Yo, man, hey, man, listen, your job is to just stay with Jameis, make sure he don't do no stupid stuff. Find me the most responsible person on this team. Your job is to stay with Jameis, make sure he'll do no stupid stuff. Hey, we going out tonight. Nope, Jameis can't come with y'all tonight, man. Jameis coming out? Okay, Jameis getting a little turnt. Hey, Jameis, let's go. Let's go. And that's what I mean. Like, man, they have these.
I mean, they have, and you know what? I want to get into the behind the scenes and all that stuff. But anyway, man, I would just say that it is. that's a FSU PR thing though, because they could have been improving that image. They never did though.
I'm with you.
So they try to see Florida State don't want to be known as the fun football school, mm-hmm. right? They want to distance themselves away from that. And that's the problem with Florida State, and that's the problem with Miami. Instead of just embracing it,
yeah,
you know, like yeah, that we'll be what we are, embrace it, and it'll be cool. But they don't want to do that, so they get uptight about that type of stuff, man.
Nah, I get it. Matter of fact, it's funny, we kind of transitioned into our next one. So you know, that Aaron Hernandez doc came out. And I think just about everybody on the timeline has seen it. You know, we've gotten our jokes off or whatever the case may be. But I thought one of the things that really we missed in all of this is the pressure that a lot of these student athletes go through, right? And so when we were just talking about Jameis and his behavior and having somebody to kind of stick with him to keep him out of trouble. There was just a couple of weeks ago where we had the, Georgia Tech commit suicide. Because nobody knew understood what these guys are going through, is I think talk about really the pressure and the impact that these guys are being forced into at very early ages, things that not a lot of people and not a lot of other young adults have to go through.
You know, so when those kids put on a helmet. Right. Like that's just I think for a lot of fans, they don't. OK, so one thing I learned about America is that we can't see past our own struggles and our own accomplishments. Right. Mm-hmm. So like however my life is, however. Either way, the struggle of my life, the accomplishment of my life, whatever cookie cutter in my life, I only can recognize that, right? Like, you can't tell me anything because this is what I believe in, because this is how I've been raised and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times they see these athletes, and I think we put them on a pedestal, but we also don't want to know how the sausage is being made. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, the kid from Georgia Tech, like you think about that situation, like, okay, he just got a full ride scholarship, mm-hmm. going to Georgia Tech, he's gonna get an engineering degree. Like he's gonna change his family's tree.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's gonna change, like it's gonna be what he was about to do was gonna ripple through the next generations in his family. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he's so depressed that he left his family in such a dull state, you know, right. It's such a ghetto. I'm eating good over here. I'm living good. But, you know, I can't call my mom because she don't have a cell phone. So I got to wait at this time to talk to her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think for a lot of people, like, and that's not unheard of, right? Like, you heard about how Devontae Freeman took his financial aid money and would send it back home.
Right.
Like, I don't even need it. Y'all take this and
right. I'm eating.
Pay the
I'm
bills
at least eating. Yeah.
I'm at least eating. I got a roof. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And living like that, does it build character? Does it build toughness? Does it build I do whatever it takes to win? I do whatever it takes to get to the next level? Yeah, it does. But it's not good for a person's mental state to be that desperate all the time. You know what I'm saying? And the Hernandez thing is crazy because, like, Florida swept a lot of that stuff under the rug, but Hernandez was hanging out with Tim Tebow.
Right.
That's why it was swept under the rug.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, and people got mad at me for saying it. Like, nah, Tim was there to do this. Like,
it was in the dock, bro. It was in the dock. They were out. Who was out? Who was right next to him and when they was out? I was like, that looked like Tebow at the same spot he was at.
Right. Yeah. They was friends. They hung out at the same places. Like, no, Jesus and Cleese was not preaching a sermon in the club. They're hanging out.
Correct.
He's one of the guys. Like,
we've been saying that for the longest, but yeah, go ahead.
Right. But it's like, it's one of those things where on a football team, you're all one person, right? Like, we all eat together. We all live together. But when these people leave those college football teams, especially you get to the pros, everything is segmented. You know, like you're in such a segment group, you know, you work, it's a job, man. You go to work for 8 hours and you go home, or you go to work for 12 hours and you go home.
Yeah.
You don't have that brotherhood like that in the NFL. Like, you know, a lot of those guys, they got wives. I mean, you got wives, you got kids, you know.
No, it's different. So you,
it's different. So you just think about, like, once he lost that, like, think about when he went to prison, how much, how happy he was to have the structure of being back in prison.
Yeah, man, that's all. That's crazy, that's a whole other podcast, man. We talk about, you know, the people who find, who have decided that jail is much more structured than their normal life, and so that's why they, you know, they will do anything. Right. If they get out, if they tell you they're getting released on Tuesday, they're trying to figure out a way they can come back by Thursday, because they because this real world is real out here, and so therefore you miss the structure of just being able to, man, I know I'm gonna have this food here, I got a roof over my head, I ain't got to worry about this. Like that's real. I know people like that. You know, in my
right, but that's crazy, because like no amount of money can fix that.
Nope.
You see what I'm saying? Like I can't give you enough amount of money to fix that problem.
I'm gonna tell you a personal story about just me, right? When we talk about the pressure that young people face, right? So I was the first person in my family. Understand, my grandma had 13 kids. Out of all the, you know, kids, was it nieces, nephews, all my cousins or whatever, I was the only person who was going to graduate. I ain't the oldest by even a little bit. I'm one of the younger ones. None of these people have graduated from high school and got an actual high school diploma. So as my senior season came up, every single day, it was without fail, my mama hit me up with, you gonna graduate, right? You on track to graduate, right? Everything good, right? We gonna graduate, right? And it made my senior year so stressful, because every other year I've never failed a grade. You know what I mean? I ain't never had no problems at all. But now you've put this family pressure. I got to be the first in my family to graduate, because ain't nobody ever did that. I got to be the first. You know what I mean? And so that's the pressure that you put throughout my entire year. So now every F on the test, every bad grade, every this is now amplified times 10. And so as a 17, 18 year old, if you understand, man, you the first one going to college, man, you gonna do that, man, you gonna change it. That's a lot, man, to put on a kid's shoulders. That's a lot to put on a young man's shoulders. But we see it every single day, and we see it so many times. And some kids can handle it, and some kids can't, because you have no idea what they've been through prior to those.
Man, they don't have the tools to deal with all of that stuff, man.
That's
like,
exactly right.
Like, and then it's amplified. It's all amplify, because now you have social media, so these kids have to be on social media to send their huddle tapes out to these coaches.
Right.
But now, okay, a coach follows me, so of course, if that coach follows me and all these Twitter brigade people see him follow me, now they want to follow me because I got an offer from this big school.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're following me, so I enroll into the college. You're telling me I'm the greatest thing ever. Then I finally get on the field. I miss a couple of passes. I miss a block. Now you telling me I'm a piece of crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I can't get on Twitter and rant like a regular 20-year-old, 19-year-old, 18-year-old. Because when I do that, that's an indictment on the type of character that I have, or the type of person that I am. I can't even go through the natural process of becoming – being a teenager and then going from a teenager to a young adult.
Right. It's why we talked about the sports psychologists and having those people on staff to be able to help with so much stuff. You know, I mean, one of the things about Urban Meyer that people like, and one of the things about Urban Meyer that makes him a good coach, is he is a psychology major. You know what I mean? Like, one of the things about it is he is great at working with the kids' psyches. And so if you are in a slump, you are in a struggle, you are, you know, down on yourself, you are trying to figure, he is good at dealing with the psyche of the kids. So he is really great at that area. And there's so many kids who are going through so much and dealing with so much, especially when you get, you know what I mean? Like when you Devontae Freeman, you got to send your check back home. You know what I mean? Because it's more important for these dudes to eat. So now it's like, you need somebody to be able to talk to get that stuff out, or somebody who can at least understand, or somebody who you can bend the ear to, because you can't, most of the time it ain't gonna be your teammates, because they's doing the same thing you're doing. Ain't none of us in here eating. You know what I mean? Ain't none of us. We all in here struggling.
But you know what's crazy, man? Like, I know people like these coaches, like all the time you look at these coaches, you call them a piece of crap coach, like, you know, Urban's a piece of crap, and Saban's a piece of crap, and this guy's a piece of crap. And I get the cynical part of it, right? Like, I mean, you wouldn't be recruiting that kid if he didn't run a 4.3 or 4.5 and, you know, physically gifted and this and that, right? But think about that. If a coach take the time to get to know you, right, been recruiting you, then he come in your house. Like, I tell you a funny story. Like, this one dude played with Florida State. I don't want to say his name because I ain't asked for permission to tell a story. But he said, Bobby Bowden first came to recruit him. You know, his house was full of roaches. You know what I'm saying? He was like, the house was roach infested. And, you know, Bobby came. So they cleaned up the house the day Bobby came or whatever, right? And they went and bought, like, some donuts, you know, so they could have some donuts to give Bobby Bowden. But, you know, by the time Bobby got there, the roaches was all in the donuts. You know what I'm saying? So they were trying to beat the donuts, beat the roaches off the donuts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they was embarrassed. You know, they was embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? And you think about that. But, you know, that guy went on to go to the pros, and he played like a little, he had like a little brief stint in the pros. I ain't going to say what team, because people might try to guess who it was. But he always tell that story like, you know, I was trying to get my family out of something. You know what I'm saying? And the family looking at you like, yeah, you need to get us out of something. You know what I'm saying? Like, they expect for you to do it. And
right.
It's a lot. But with the Hernandez thing, I just want to, because I'm not trying to make an excuse for Hernandez, but I think the thing with Hernandez that's kind of eye-opening is you don't know who somebody is.
Right.
Right? Like, just because they're making great plays on the football field and they get Man of the Year award from the NFL or whatever, Buckets, whatever type of award, that don't mean that's a quality human being. It just mean he's good at his craft. And I think a lot of times we try to associate what a player does on the football field to tell us what they are as a person. And that's just, that's crazy.
Right.
You know?
Yes. I think the general message is let's stop, you know, judging these kids, you know, based off of their ability to play football. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like, we've
right. You're not a piece of crap because you can't play football.
That's correct.
But you're just not good at football.
Just not good at football. Just that simple. Yeah. I mean, and I think we tend to formulate opinions about kids based on, you know, their inability or ability to play football, period.
And then we feel the need to go online and tell them that they're a piece of crap.
Man, I ain't never.
Right?
Them people, I ain't gonna never. Like, that. I can't even rationalize that behavior. That's a wild behavior for me. It's difficult for me to even rationalize that. But, I think we're gonna say all we need to say on that one.
That Hernandez documentary, if you haven't watched it, I haven't got through all of it yet. I'm only on episode, like, two.
It's only three episodes. I finished it.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't got to the third one yet, but that is that's a lot to unpack, you know.
It absolutely is. It's a whole lot to unpack. Because I looked at it from.
Did you hear what Zach Smith said on his shoulder?
No, what did he say? Smith?
Well, he said that the woman that had breast cancer, his cousin, Aaron Hernandez actually had a kid from her.
Yo, man, I can't.
That man. Let me tell you something, man. That's
okay. All right. I can't. I don't even know what to say to that. Listen. I thought he had a lot going on as a young person. Again, I thought the big what really was eye opening to me was when his father passed, and then, you know, the mom moves in. You know, the best friend or the, you know, homeboy or whatever. And I'm like, yo, how do you think this is gonna go over with your son? He knows who his dad's best friend is. He's been around your family forever. Meanwhile, it's like, wait a minute, man. You've been secretly, you know what I mean? Like, behind my dad. Like, it gives you a sense of distrust from an early age. Like, how can you trust? It's hard to trust anybody at that point when when your mom is, you know, gets with the dude who was your dad's best friend. Like, that right there is the stuff that I think people don't look at and say, man. I was like, listen, at that moment, I was like, whoo. That's a hard thing to come back from. I mean, so Yeah, there was a lot in the documentary, man. We ain't gonna spoil it all. If you ain't seen it, go watch it. It's very eye opening, and not just Aaron Hernandez, but I think a lot of kids and young men and women, these students go through, and then we just throw them on the football field and expect them to just go be great. That's my opinion on it. But finally, man, we got some questions right from the fans from some of the listeners.
Yeah, for the mailbag. Yeah.
Go ahead. And...
So, first one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little confused. Wide receiver D. Adams was looking to transfer while Taggart was the coach, yet he transferred directly to the school, the coach by the guy he was leaving. Who did he have a problem with, FSU or Kendall Briles? All right, let me say this, okay, about these players and stuff.
I know transferring the media, specifically to FAU.
Yeah, D. Adams is.
No, I'm talking about in general. Just some of the floor. There's not. He's not the only one, but there's been other.
Yeah, Lamar. Yeah. So the picture was painted with the media was the players didn't trust Willie Taggart. They didn't like Willie Taggart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a lot of that's not actually true, man. Okay, that's just those are people that had access to grind. Okay, so that wasn't true. Adams, it was a business decision. Adams probably wanted to transfer because he seen no way in which he was going to play, right? You got Warren Thompson, Keyshawn Hilton, DJ Matthews, Tamarian Terry, Pokey Wilson. You know what I'm saying? So, but that don't mean that he didn't like Willie Taggart. He probably just game-recognized game. Like, okay, I'm probably not going to play over these guys.
If a Florida State player transfers to FAU, it's because he's an FAU caliber player. It's just that simple. Like, like you know what I mean? Let's not slice it two ways. If he was dope, he'd have went to Georgia like Trey McKitty. You know what I mean? Like if he was dope, he would have went to one of these top tier schools. He would have transferred to a top tier school. But at some point, you begin to recognize exactly who you are. If I'm on the Cedar Field, I can't keep going to these big time programs. These big time programs got real good receivers. I ain't at that level. And so I think it's self awareness to be able to say, you know what, man, I know this coach. I actually like this coach, and I ain't even at the level of some of these other dudes. So you know what? I'm gonna follow Willie to FAU because why? I'm an FAU caliber player over here. Yeah. I can get some shine. I can get some playing time. I can play versus me playing at Florida State where I ain't going to never see the field because they're going to keep bringing in dudes better than me. And so
it's a game-recognized game. Exactly game-recognized game. Like, okay, he got more game than me. I'm probably not going to play here.
Period.
And another was question, Lamar never touched the field at FSU even though he was recruited by Coach Willie Taggart and now he went straight to FAU. So I guess Coach O wouldn't allow him to touch the field. No. Lamar wasn't good enough to touch the field. I mean, he wasn't going to play over. Who was he going to play over? He wasn't going to play over Marvin Wilson.
Nope.
Wasn't going to play over Robert Cooper. Nope. Wasn't going to play over Curry Darden.
Nope. Right.
So he wasn't good enough.
Correct.
Okay. So, yeah, he wasn't good enough. He's FSU quality.
Yeah, you know FAU what I'm quality. Yeah, FAU quality player.
Next question. Behind the scenes, who was better behind the scenes, Stafford Samuels or Mario Edwards? All right, I'm going to say this. Mario Edwards, when you talk about that 2012 recruiting class with Jameis, Mario Edwards Jr.,
yeah,
that class had like a lot of star power. The very top, it was real top heavy, like really good top heavy class.
Yeah.
Mario Edwards did a good job of recruiting those parents, and he's a good recruiter type. You know, he understands how to talk to parents about the recruiting process. So he's really good at recruiting stuff like that.
Yep.
On the field, like when Mario Edwards got that job, player development coach or whatever, like was Mario Edwards trying to become an on-the-field coach? Like was he doing little things like going to coaching conventions and studying other coaches and – No, he wasn't doing that. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so Stafford Samuels is different. He's a coach's coach. He want to be a coach. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So he did that. So Stafford Samuels makes more sense that he'll be on the field because he cares about that type of stuff. He want to be a coach.
I was gonna say I don't have anything else to add to that. I 100% agree with you. I think they both are good in their own respects. Only difference is I just think it's I think like you said, one guy is his aspirations are a little bigger right now, and so therefore his work ethic is just a little bigger. We see it in any everyday jobs. Certain people gonna come to work every day. They're gonna do their job really well. They're gonna go home, and then there's other people who are doing their job, the next man job, and they trying to shine for the boss because they trying to get to the next level. That's one guy
get the manager position. He just want to be the manager. Other guy, he get the manager position. He want to be a regional manager.
That's exactly right. That's the difference. Yeah.
Okay, last question. Do you think Blackman will get a fair shot to start at FSU at QB under Coach Norvell? I think Blackman is not a good quarterback. All right. I think Blackman should not be at Florida State and should have never been at Florida State. And I think when Pruitt come into town, he'll be the quarterback. Unless they find a grad transfer that they believe in more. And that person be the quarterback. I just don't think Blackman's a good quarterback. I don't think there's nothing there, to be honest with you.
Listen to the last podcast. Listen to the last podcast. You can listen to, I'm sure there's another one in there as well where we've talked about it. I mean, our thoughts on Blackman are, we appreciate your services, but you should probably hit the portal. I mean, will he get a fair shot? Mike Norvell has at least said he's going to get a fair shot. Should he get a fair shot?
But no, it's going to be a fair shot, but he's not going to beat the kid out because he's not a good quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like Blackman last year, he was the starter going into spring, going all the way into the fall. And then they get to the practices against Alex Hornibrook. And it was the race was too close to call.
It was a tie. Essentially, what we were told, from where all the reports we heard was that the dude with all the advantages in the world and the quarterback who had been here and had the locker room tied with Alex Hornibrook, and we all saw what Alex Hornibrook was.
Right. So that should tell you all you need to really know about that situation. Like, somebody told me the other day, well, he could beat out this. I'm like, bro, he's always in the quarterback battle.
Always. Here's what I think. Here's what I will add to it. In the last time, the tie went to him because he had the locker room. At this present moment, the tie won't go to him because he has put so much bad tape and bad film and bad, attitude, or not really attitude, but bad, dispositions and his demeanor is going to count as a negative against him at this point. So even if it is a close call like it was last year, he won the tie because of his, the locker room and leadership and his toughness and all that. I think at this point, I think that's going to end up hurting them in the long run. So if it's a tie this time, they're going to look at it and say, nah, we'll lose with the young dude. We'd much rather use with the young dude in better temperament than we will with his, with the veteran. And then I think at that point, he does hit the portal. I mean, let's say you end up with one of those Jameis Winston, moments, and Tate has balls out in the spring. I mean, just absolutely balls out at that spring game. Like Jameis did where it was a foregone conclusion that, okay, this job is this competition is over with. There's no more competition. I don't care what's happening, and Jimbo tried to downplay it or whatever the case may be, but it was over. Everybody knew it. We saw what we saw. In the event you end up with one of those, I think he may transfer early, right? Especially if he realizes the fan, he already knows where the fan base stand on him. So I think you can end up in a situation where he transfers early. I mean, after spring, but at this point, I don't know what advice he's been given. He's been told by Mike Norvell. So I'm assuming that's the only reason why he's still sticking around.
Hey, I mean, I don't know.
I know
he won't be the quarterback.
I know that as well. and if so, then something is terribly wrong, and I'm gonna have some criticisms for our new head coach. Anyway, man, you got a tweet of the day, man.
No tweet today.
No tweet today. Well, then listen. As always, man, we appreciate you guys. Rate, review, subscribe, download, listen. We on Apple, Google, and of course SoundCloud. So hit us up, man. Always, the mailbag is always open. Listen up, podcast19@gmail.com. If y'all have questions, y'all can also hit us up on Facebook and Twitter as well. If y'all want to throw out some questions for next week, man. That's it, man. We out.
Yo.
Yo.
Thank you. Far too kind. Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook it with the Brooklyn Boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. You hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the f*** you spec? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Damn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open in hand with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you